Sean Maloney, let's talk politics for a moment. The Democratic National Committee is now sort of up for grabs. They had a disastrous result of the selection, as we know. Many people thought it was unpredictable. Now there's a whole bunch of competitors who want to be the head of the Democratic National Committee. Can you give us one of your patented looks inside the way it really works?
Yeah, sure. Well, a better question is, what the heck does the DNC do? Because I couldn't tell you. I mean, I think that the fact is that if they're doing anything, they should be building the state parties in 50 states across the country. And I think we've done a lousy job of that. And that's not the whole reason for what happened in November, but it's part of it. And I would like to see stronger state parties, and I'd like to see the DNC take the lead on that. So that's what I'll be looking for in a candidate for it. I don't really have a dog in that fight. I can tell you the Democratic leader in the House has appointed me to run the deep dive review of what went wrong on our side in the House, you know, the after action report, and that's where my focus is.
Wow.
And I can tell you that we have some real things, we have some real work to do. I mean, what should be clear to everyone who watched is that large numbers of American voters have been rejecting our party, and I want to listen to those voters, and I want to ask them why. And I don't want to act like we know, and I want to show some humility, and I want to have my party, you know, continue to reinvent itself in a way that makes sense, because what we're doing is not working, and we need to be honest about that.
Do you have a hypothesis going in?
Well, yeah, look, I mean, I think that you know, common sense will tell you that too many voters believe that the Democratic Party doesn't offer something that they want to support. That is despite the fact that, you know, I believe it's, you know, any fair look at our policies versus, say, our opponents are better for particularly working and middle class families who are trying to get their kids to college and pay for it, trying to plan for retirement, trying to afford their health care. You know, I believe we have substantive, meaningful solutions in infrastructure, in health care, and we're not doing a very good job of communicating to people so that they feel like we got their backs. You know, middle class families like the one I grew up in have to get some sense that you understand their issues and they're a priority for you. And I think sometimes they believe that, you know, we aren't focused on them in the way we should. But I don't want to presume to know. I think we got to go ask voters. I think I want to do this in a way that doesn't prejudge it, and let the chips fall where they may. We've got to make changes clearly, because a lot of what we care about, from growing this economy in a way that's fair, to helping working and middle class families, to balancing our budget the right way, to, you know, keeping taxes down but continuing to invest in education and infrastructure, these things are going to suffer if you turn this government over to a bunch of demagogues who give you a bunch of, you know, happy talk, simple solutions, and then screw everything up. And I think if you look at what's happening with this new administration, I mean, look at healthcare. I mean, you want to criticize the Affordable Care Act? Be my guest. I have been very critical of the Affordable Care Act, and I've got a bunch of ideas on how to fix it. But you should not toss this thing out without a plan to replace it. You will create huge disruption, scare a lot of people, make a mess of the private health insurance system, which actually has to plan for this and, you know, create policies and rate schedules that make sense, knowing what the laws are going to be. So they're going to create chaos for some ideological imperative when they don't have any ideas on how to fix it. I think that's irresponsible. And so our party needs to do a better job of hitting people where they live emotionally so that they'll trust us to do these policy issues where I think we've got their backs in a way that the other guys don't.
I think that the word emotionally is very interesting, because I think this is a fairly emotional election. I don't know if you agree, but people were saying, I don't like big government. I don't like government. I want to know my people. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I understand why people want change and are frustrated with the way Washington works. My district voted for Donald Trump. I want to approach that with some humility. I am the only Democrat in New York that has won a Trump district. So I think I have a special responsibility to represent everybody, number one. And number two, listen. And what I hear people tell me hasn't changed a lot in the last 3 or 4 years. It may have reached a crescendo now. But what they say is pretty basic. Why aren't you guys doing stuff we need done? Why aren't you listening to one another and talking to one another? Why you guys all talk like you're full of it? Why don't you talk like normal human beings? You know, are you looking out for me and my family, or is this just some game where you get to go to Washington and get a salary and make speeches and waste everybody's time? You know, I think what people are frustrated with is this economy needs to grow faster. It needs to be more fair in that the people doing the work benefit from it, and they see it in their paychecks, that they can afford to send their kids to college. That maybe if, you know, your kid gets sick, you could actually go to the doctor without, you know, having to take out another mortgage on your house. You know, that there is a basic contract that has been breaking down here, that our trade policies seem to be screwing all our upstate communities and hollowing them out. When they used to be economic engines, now they're shells of what they used to be. It doesn't have to be that way. We are making choices, and we've been paying the price for a system that only listens to people who are well connected. And I get that that makes people angry, and we are not doing a good job of growing this economy in a way that benefits everybody, and that is broadly felt. And the people have said we're willing to blow it up, and maybe even suffer some chaos and some bad consequences if it means we get change. And they're going to get what they've asked for. My job is to try to make it constructive. My job is to try to make sure that, you know, we're not throwing the baby out with the bathwater here. That if you want change, it means that you can do something better, not just blow something up.
And yet on paper, Sean Patrick Maloney, on paper, it looks like the economy of the United States has not been healthier for a long, long time.
There are very good things going on in the economy. Yes, we're growing at over 3%. That's good. It could be even better. Unemployment is low. That's good. Wages are growing. Finally, that's good. And we know that the recession was a brutal, brutal blow to the American economy and to so many families. And it's just taken a long time to build out of that. But none of us should be satisfied with that. And there are huge numbers of Americans who do not feel like things are getting better, whose wages aren't going up, whose jobs are going away or being eliminated by technology. There are whole communities that have just been left behind. We've seen a concentration of where wealth is created. A group of Americans who benefit because of the skills they have or the schools they went to or where they grew up. And that's a problem if you're not in that club. And for those folks who are being left behind, it's pretty frightening. You know, how am I going to stay in my house? How am I going to retire? What are my kids going to do? Where do they fit in this world where the job I did and maybe they were going to do is being eliminated or going overseas? And so it's our job, those of us in power, to make this thing work, to take these changes and this technology and to turn it into opportunity and real wealth creation for people again, so they can see the future with hope and think, wow, it's going to be better, all these changes. Right now, I think people see all these changes and they feel it's going to be worse.
If you saw one danger, I mean, the Republicans have been preaching trickle down for a long, long time, and we don't have, and that's never worked. I'm assuming we're going to see some more of it now. We have 1 minute to answer that question.
Well, I hope not, because the worst thing we could do right now, having reduced our deficit by 2/3, you know, the deficit's down to about 2%, 2.5% of GDP. The debt, while it is larger in absolute terms, has been coming down as a percentage of GDP. We need to keep making progress on that. We should balance the budget. We should do it in the right way. Take some time to do it, but we should do it. If these guys blow a hole in the budget because they want to give big tax cuts to the rich, they are never going to balance this thing, and they're going to add trillions to the debt. And by the way, you know, throwing the Affordable Care Act without a replacement is also going to add trillions to the debt. And so I think these guys have to be accountable. I think they have to be accountable. If they've been talking this game for years about debt and deficit, well, let's see whether it goes up or goes down under President Trump and under unified Republican government. If it goes up, they should explain it, because I want to keep it coming down. And that's the path we've been on, and we need to keep at it. And so I just think there are real opportunities to screw things up here. If you think they're bad now, they can get worse. We need to make them better. And I'm worried about what happens in foreign affairs. I think there are tripwires all around. So these guys ought to show a little humility, and they ought to remember their own principles, and they ought to be accountable for what they do.
Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District, thank you, Sean, so much. From the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate the fact that you keep coming back and talking to us and explaining stuff to us. I appreciate it very much.
Always enjoy the conversation. Thanks, Alan.